Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning, and I have enjoyed this service very much. The life of Moses just has a lot of everyday 2024 applications that we can make. Have you ever stopped to think about it? If Moses wouldn't have made the right choice that Hebrews 11 talks about, had he not made that choice, and he would have chosen rather to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and probably would have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt, how do you think the story would have ended? Well, I think probably that Moses would have been one of the statistics. He probably would have ended up on the seashore with the rest of the Egyptian army. That's probably how it would have turned out, because God would have found another deliverer from another place. So making the right choice has eternal implications, and Hebrews says that Moses understood that. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit this morning and talk about relationships. The title for the message is Biblical Tips for Relationships. I'm wondering if anyone here can tell me what the most famous ship is in Canadian history. What is the most famous ship in Canadian history? Who knows? The Fitzgerald? All right, that's a carrier, isn't it? Or a battleship, right? It's not the one I was thinking of. The one I'm thinking of is found on the dime. I brought a dime with me this morning. And we used to call this, as children, we used to call this boat money. We'd go to church and take offering along, and we would take our boat money along. Does anyone know what ship is on the front of the dime? Well, it's a tall ship, and it's called the Blue Nose. Have you ever heard of the Blue Nose? All right. The Blue Nose was a tall ship that was launched in Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, back in 1921. She was called the Queen of the North Atlantic. She was both a fishing and a racing vessel. She was 143 feet long. Her mast was 126 feet high, and she carried over 10,000 square feet of sail. She would fish the North Atlantic in the fishing season, which stretched from April to September. Schooners back in that day would sometimes stay out for 8 weeks at a time, or until their holds were full of fish. The Blue Nose was also a very successful racing vessel. Other ships were built to try and beat her, but she won the trophy for being the fastest fishing schooner that worked the North Atlantic. In 1942, she was sold to the West Indies Trading Company to work as a freighter in the Caribbean Sea. On January 28, 1946, she struck a reef off the coast of Haiti and sank. So that is the history of the little boat that is on the front of our dime. This morning, we want to talk about another ship, not a tall ship, not a cruise ship, not a container ship, but a relationship. And sadly, there are too many relationships that end up like the Blue Nose, and they're resting on the bottom somewhere, and that's not God's design, that's not God's will, that's not God's purpose for our relationship. Now, relationships can be an inevitable part of life. They are an inevitable part of life. It doesn't matter what stage or what age you are in life. Relationships involve interaction with other people. We enjoy good relationships. We deal with strained or stressed relationships at times. And at times there's broken relationships. And we know that it takes time, it takes effort to build and to nurture our relationships. Some require more effort than others. There's various levels of relationships. Some are distant, some are more casual, some are more deep and intimate. We have business relationships, we have family relationships, we have church relationships. And this morning, we want to discover what is needed to build those relationships in our lives and also become more aware of potential threats that could break down or destroy our relationships. God has designed us to be social beings. Our composition is created to interact and connect with each other. You know, we become discouraged, we become depressed when there's relationships problems in our lives. You know, it can be with parents and teenagers. And when there's a strain, when there's a stress there, both parties aren't very comfortable. It doesn't feel very nice. There can be stressed relationships between husbands and wives. And marriage relationships that are on the rocks there's something that causes a lot of strain and stress. We know how it feels to come to church and feel the dysfunctional relationships with our brothers or sisters at times. I don't think that's not God's will, of course not. But it's life, and how do we work through those things? Many times there's withdrawal where there's disagreement or strain in a relationship. There are times when you might need to withdraw from a relationship, especially if it's jeopardizing your relationship with God, but that is not necessarily the focus of our message today. I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and there's some advice here in the scripture that God has for us. God is the ultimate relationship specialist. You can go to all kinds of authors and books and all kinds of things and get advice, but this morning, the scriptures, I believe, have the best relationship advice that ever has been written. And I'd like to read Galatians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 13 on down through to verse 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, this is just one of the many passages in Scripture that speak to issues that are involved in our relationships with each other. I brought something along with me this morning. It's this little sailing ship. It's a little ship that I like to use as a illustration just to help our points stick a little better today. This was in the bin, in our storage bin, and I was able to dig it out and find it. So we've got a tall ship here. I don't know if you can see it okay over there or not on that side, but it's got the basic components of a sailboat, of a sailing ship. And so we want to use that as an illustration here today. These ships were the Deltas. They were the American Airlines. They were the Air Canadas of yesteryear. They sailed all over the continent. I believe that our continent, North America, was probably discovered on a boat something like this one here. A clipper could sail from New York to Liverpool in about 6 weeks if the weather was good. And if the weather was adverse, it could take up to 14 weeks to make the trek across the Atlantic. I'm not sure what the flight time is from Calgary to London today, I believe. It's about roughly 8.5 hours. You can be in London, England. Now, a sailing ship or a sailboat like this has 8 essential parts that are necessary for its function, for its operation. And we just want to look at those and compare them to how to have good relationships with each other today. The first one is that we want to look at is the love of God must be the law. The love of God must be the law. And it brings this point out here in verses 13 and 14 that we read. It says, by love serve one another. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this is foundational. This needs to be the bottom line. And I'd like to compare that to the mast of the ship, the main pole that extends from the deck up and carries the main sail. That's called the mast. And the mast is always vertical. At least it better be. If it's horizontal, there's big, big problems. I believe just recently there was a tall ship. It was a businessman's yacht that was anchored in the Mediterranean close to Italy. And I remember reading about it. I think it happened maybe in August. And I got the feeling that in the business world, the higher your mast, the more important you are, which I guess that probably would make sense, wouldn't it, if you owned a yacht and you had the highest mast, that would be something to feel really good about, I guess. Anyway, these boats were anchored close to port in the Mediterranean, somewhere close to Italy, and this big storm just came up out of nowhere. And it reminded me of what it talks about in Acts, when when Paul was caught in that Euroclydon. I guess the Mediterranean is famous for those kinds of storms. Anyway, this storm came out of nowhere, and it knocked this businessman's ship clean over, and it sank, and there was loss of life. But the love of God must be the law, and that mast must be pointing vertical. Like I said, the Blue Nose's mast is 126 feet tall. I believe the tallest yacht in the world has a 247-foot mast, so that's pretty high. The mast points up into the heavens and provides stability for the sails. The mast is what identified a ship for miles out. You could tell there was a ship, and if you were a seaman, if you were a sailor, you could probably tell whose ship it was by the mast. A broken mast meant a drifting ship. A drifting ship results in shipwreck. Well, what is the condition of your mast today? And I'm speaking about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, because if that relationship isn't close to what it should be, if it's something that you're not really that concerned about, I can guarantee you one thing: you will have trouble in your horizontal relationships. It always works that way. So that's the first question we need to ask, is what is this relationship like with God? What condition is it in? You can't fix anyone else's mast, but you can look at what condition yours is in. And that'll go a long way in your horizontal relationships and in even helping others fix theirs, if that is what is needed. We can never have loving relationships if we're not connected to the source of love. That's just a basic given. We could turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and we could look at what real love is. And I think we better turn there, because this one's pretty important that we get this one straight. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'd like to read verses 4 to 8, because it is a very, very accurate description of how God's love looks and how it works itself out. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, it says here, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, it doesn't brag on itself. It doesn't brag about its accomplishments. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant. Doth not behave itself unseemly or rudely. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. God's love helps us to do that. God's love helps us to work that out in our everyday lives. Thinketh no evil. rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. There you have it. I can't explain it better than that. When your mast is straight and tall and strong, it'll connect you to the source of love, that you won't find anywhere else. You know, self-love is selfish. It looks out for its own interests. It only gives so that it can get. It always takes more than it returns. Self-love controls. It criticizes. It competes. God's love is a love that finds its greatest satisfaction in serving. We talked about that in Sunday school, about service and finding our satisfaction and our worth in life by serving. Well, that's what God's love is about. You know, if you are in a relationship that is strained or needs some reconnecting, try serving that person. Try taking as good a care of them as what you take of yourself. Start pampering them. Start protecting them like you would yourself, and I guarantee you it'll work. It almost always does. Now, there are some nuts that are pretty hard to crack, I agree. But if you extend God's love to that person, and you keep doing that, one thing it's going to do is it's going to put all the ingredients there to help that person make the right choice. How is your relationship with God? What condition is your mast in? Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Again, Jesus said it very plain. It's easy for us to understand. All right, secondly, loving relationships need to be led by the Spirit, not a haughty spirit. And verses 16 and 18 talk about this. It says, "Walk in the Spirit," in verse 16. And that has the idea of that is your everyday direction. You are walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is leading your life. It's leading your emotions. It's leading your responses. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to control our spirits. This morning, your spirit is your attitudes. And your attitudes control your choices. And your choices determine your destination. And I'd like to compare this on our ship this morning to the mainsail. And that's the big one here that attaches to the top of the mast and it comes down to the boom. That's the mainsail. That sail has a very, very big impact on the direction of this ship. You lose that sail and I'm not sure how long it's going to take to get to Liverpool. You might never will get there without that sail. Probably not. Led by the Holy Spirit, not a haughty spirit. 200 feet up in the breeze. The Royal Clipper, that's how high its mast is. The Royal Clipper is actually a tall ship. It's a cruise ship that is still in operation. And it has a 200-foot mast, and it's got 56,000 square feet of sail. And that's the size of a warehouse that's 100 feet wide by 560 feet long. Imagine that amount of sail flapping up in the breeze. That is what propels the Royal Clipper. Now, the mast and the mainsail are interconnected. You can't really disconnect them. I mean, the one kind of needs the other. And when the mainsail in your life is your own selfish spirit, it's going to produce strained, stressed, and separated relationships. It's just how it works. This morning, do an assessment of your life, your attitudes. Think about your responses. This past week, your responses to your children, your responses to your husband, your responses to your mom and dad, your responses to your wife, to those that you did business with, and what kind of spirit came through. What kind of spirit did those individuals sense? Do you have a selfish spirit driving your ship? Do you have a superior attitude? Sometimes us humans get superior attitudes and we kind of get snooty and we look down our noses at each other. I don't know why we get those kinds of spirits, those kinds of attitudes, but we do. It's something we struggle with. Fact of the matter is, God made us all of the same stuff. We pretty much all have the same struggles, some to a more or lesser degree than others in different areas, but we have no reason to feel superior one to another, not at all. If the main mast is self-love, then the main sail will be a self-centered attitude, and your life, your relationships are going to be full of conflict. How is it in your marriage this morning? Is there tension and conflict? Check out the mast. Check out the mainsail. Verse 15 here, back in Galatians 5, talks about biting and devouring each other. Now, I don't know why we do that, but it's something that us humans seem to have problems with at times. Biting and devouring. Now, you know that you all know that bites hurt. They sting. They immobilize. They kill. Think about a snake bite or even a dog bite or even an insect bite. You know, we fear things that bite us. Why do we do that to each other? How often do we kill time and consume time and resources by biting each other instead of building each other up? We do it with our words, with our attitudes, or even things we don't say at times. When the Holy Spirit is in control of your ship, look at what he will bring to your relationship. And verse 22 has the list. And I believe that those verses there are like hand in glove with the verses we read in 1 Corinthians 13 on what true love works like. Those two, they fit together very well. All right, thirdly, loving relationships thrive when we learn to listen objectively. Learn to listen objectively. And you might wonder, well, where does this come from? And I'd like to draw our attention to a word in verse 20. We have the sins of the flesh in verse 19. And in verse 20, we have the sins of the spirit. And there's a word here. It's the word variance. And we don't use this word much today in our English today, but variance, it means to quarrel, it means a debate, it means to wrangle, it has the idea of arguing persistently. There are people like that. They're not happy unless they're in some kind of debate or argument. And I would suggest that is not healthy for relationships when that is the constant what surrounds a relationship when it's variance. It tears it down. I'd like to compare the ability to listen objectively to the rudder on our ship. And I actually made this little rudder on the back because this didn't come with a rudder. But the rudder is what steers the ship. And it's down under the water. And the wind provides the power for the sail, but the rudder ultimately steers the ship. And learning to listen objectively is something that I guess probably takes a lifetime to learn. It's some personalities find it easier to learn than others. I can speak from experience, but you know that rudder is like the little flapper down under the water, and it's just, you can't see it really, but it's down there just quietly doing its thing. You know, you could compare it to the steering tires on your car. It simply listens to the direction that the tiller gives it. The spirit of variance, like I said, it likes to argue and it likes to debate, and often it's out of a spirit that likes to exert its influence and control. And many times the bottom line is that it's nothing more than the owner of the flapper trying to prove that they're smart or witty or competent. And many times the issue isn't so much about what is right or wrong, but about who is right or wrong. And I'm not saying that, you know, discussions and even good debates don't have their place, but I think we need to be careful. I think we need to watch pointless debates, pointless arguments. I remember back in the day when this flat earth theory was being rolled around, and there would be people that would, boy, they got pretty heated about whether the earth is flat or round. And they would go on for this, for about this for hours, and they still wouldn't get it figured out. And does the Bible say it's round or is it flat? And I was taught it's round. I believe it's round. I think there's science to prove that, how that all works. I'm not enough of a scientist to explain it to you. But anyway, the end of the day, I believe it was nothing more than just a debate. And it produces variance. Are you willing to listen as much as you jabber? Are you interested in learning how the other person feels and why they feel that way? You know, listening is a skill. It takes practice. It takes wisdom to understand, to really understand what your partner or what your friend, what your co-worker is trying to say. You simply have to be quiet and focus and listen to really understand, for it to really sink in. Learn to hear what they are saying, sometimes by what they are not saying. Sometimes you can learn a lot by what a person does not say. Watch their expression. Listen to the tone in which they talk. Don't listen with wandering eyes. Listen without interruption. I found some tips for effective listening. The first one on the list is eye contact. When you're listening to somebody, look them in the eye, because their eyes communicate. They tell you a lot. Listen to nonverbal cues. Don't interrupt. Don't judge or jump to conclusions. Don't start planning about what you're going to say next before they're even done. Don't impose opinions or solutions, not when you're listening. If they ask for them, give them, but when it's time to listen, listen. And then ask questions. Sometimes asking questions helps you to understand what they're saying, and it helps the person that's talking to better understand what they're saying. Just a few tips on listening. You know, we can, how we listen sends the other person a message about how we feel about them and about how important they are to us. You know, many times the best way for someone else to consider your point, your viewpoint, happens when you listen to theirs. You know, when Colleen and I were dating, we didn't always have something to talk about, and that sometimes bothered us. We had this idea that dating couples, they should be talking all the time. And, you know, you read these stories where, couples talk and talk and they can't get done talking. Well, we didn't always have something to talk about all the time, you know. And so we got kind of worried about this. And then we run across this little saying, and it went something like this. If you don't understand my silence, you won't understand my words. And that helped us a lot. So I don't know if anybody needs that this morning or not, but I'm going to throw it out there because I believe it has a lot of truth to it. Your relationships and the directions they will go depend on how well you can listen. James 1 verse 19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right, loving relationships, number 4. Are built and maintained when there's liaison instead of competition. Liaison instead of competition. Now, I know I talked about competition maybe a message or two ago, so I'm not going to go into that real much here this morning, but I'd like to talk about liaison. I don't know how many of you know what liaison means. You've probably heard the word, and if you haven't studied it, you might not remember what it means, but it means connection and cooperation. It has the idea of exchange of information or the planning of joint efforts by two or more people or groups, and it's often in a military context. The Allied forces in World War II were a liaison. They worked together. They cooperated. They shared intelligence. They shared information. And I like to think about this as the jib on the sailboat, and that's this little sail up front. That's the jib, just that small little sail. And that's a pretty important little sail. It works in concert with the main sail, and it helps to increase the performance and stability of the boat. So it has the idea of working together with the mainsail. It has the idea of being in concert with. It doesn't compete with the mainsail. The mainsail pointed that direction. It doesn't just point the totally opposite direction and go in circles, but it helps to bring stability and bring direction. Larger sailing vessels have more than one jib. Now we come to the word emulate here in verse 20. Again, a word that we don't use it much, if at all. But it has the idea of seeking to match or rival another's achievement or performance. And when that happens in our relationships, it breaks them down rather than builds them. I think we need to learn to we need to learn to see others' strengths and gifts as a complement to our lives, not as something that's competition, but as a complement. You see, God doesn't give one person all the gifts. He just doesn't. He didn't plan it that way. Not one person. Not any one person has them all. You will find with any given person that, even if it's a gifted person, they'll have probably a pretty severe need somewhere. And God planned it that way. And the reason He did is so that we can work with each other. We need each other to survive. I'm thankful for the people God has placed in my life to complement my weakness. Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and say that, and I understand that, because in real life, I don't always feel that way. But we need to see it that way. You know, sometimes even spouses get secretly caught in trying to match or rival their spouse's achievements or gifts, and that tears a marriage relationship down. That's not how God planned it. Actually, I think it's important for us to look, especially those of you who are married, those of us that are married this morning, it's important for us to recognize how beautiful it is with the person that God put into our lives to complement us and to cover those holes, those flat spots. You know, even the animal kingdom complements each other. I came across this little article about zebras. I guess if you're from America, you would say zebras, but we say zebras up here. But zebras and ostriches are both prey for faster animals. As such, they both have to maintain a heightened sense of alertness for danger. The problem is that zebras, while they have excellent eyesight, don't really have a good sense of smell. Ostriches, on the other hand, have a great sense of smell, but not so great eyesight. So they both have a strength and they both have a weakness. So the two smart species stay close together. I guess if you go to the safari, I don't know if you saw that, Ray and Chantal, when you were in Africa or not, but did the zebras and the ostriches stay close together? Well, if they did, they planned it that way because they rely on the eyes of the zebra and the noses of the ostriches to keep predators at bay. So they both help each other out with their gifts and cover for each other's weaknesses. And that's liaison, and that's God's will for us in our relationships. All right, number 5, loving relationships are built when we have level-headed and logical emotions. And I'd like to compare the level-headed and logical perspective to the keel on a sailing vessel. And this one, it's not very pronounced. But a true sailing vessel will have a big keel that extends out the bottom of the hull. And that keel, I believe, nowadays, they actually take on water to bring balance to the ship. You see, when you've got 200 feet of sail above the deck, you've got to have something under the water to keep this thing stable. And that's why they have a keel. we have here in verse 20, we have another word, and it uses the word wrath. Now, this word we understand a little better. It has the idea of passionate anger, breathing hard, fierce. Has the thought of blowing smoke. Now, you've all seen an artist is trying to draw a bull. And one of the ways he's going to tell you it's a bull is he's going to put out these big puffs of steam coming from the bull's nose, right? Well, that's what this word means. That's what wrath has the idea of here. Loving relationships are destroyed where there's an anger problem. We all know that, because when we get angry to the point where it affects our emotions and starts to control us, we make some very irrational choices. We have some very irrational responses. Loving, level-headed, and logical emotions. Level-headed has the idea of calm and sensible, and logical has the idea of sensible and based on facts, able to think sensibly and come to a rational conclusion based on the facts rather than on emotion. Sounds pretty even keel. You know, we use the word even keel. We say that person's even keeled, and that's where the idea comes from, the keel on the bottom of a sailing vessel. You know, anger, wrath has wrecked many relationships, and the cause is when the relationship with my friend or my spouse or my parent is not meeting a need in my life that I think I deserve. That person isn't giving me what I want. Often it's directed towards God. People get angry at God because God isn't giving them what they think they deserve or what they want. And it's the very thing that makes it impossible for the relationship to thrive or to continue like it should. The keel is the facts. It's the truth. It's what has weight down under the water, not making a sound. It provides balance and stability. Well, number 6. Relationships that are built on God's love need a long-suffering peacemaker. Again, in verse 20, we have the word strife. And strife has the idea of conflict, contention, and friction. We all know what happens when there's strife in a relationship. Strife comes where there's a clash of wills many times. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention. So where there's strife, there's usually, you'll find pride around. Pride is plentiful where there's lots of strife. Now, backing down, I'm not talking about backing down on principle. That doesn't bring peace. Sometimes it only defers and prolongs a conflict, but it is in how we do it. It's in how we do it and the spirit we have, even if we are in a situation where we need to stand for truth. And I'd like to compare the long-suffering peacemaker to the tiller on the boat, and that's this lever here on the back that controls the rudder. And, you know, what controls that lever, that tiller up there, controls the direction of the boat. And a long-suffering, it's important that a person that is long-suffering, a person that is a peacemaker, is in charge of steering that boat. Otherwise, it's going to go into the rocks. And here in Galatians 5, it does list being a peacemaker, I believe, as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's definitely there. Well, we need to keep running along here. Relationships need a lot of patience. Some people take years to change. Some never do. It's always the other person that needs it, right? Well, we know that's not the truth. Be willing to lay down your opinion. Be willing to lay down your feelings for the sake of peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." All right, number 7. To build loving, strong, healthy relationships, there must be loyal commitment to unity. We have the word seditions here in verse 20, and that has the idea of disunion, dissension, division, an uprising. There needs to be loyal commitment to unity. And you know what holds this boat all together is the hull. Without the hull, you don't have a boat. And in a relationship, there needs to be, if there's loyal commitment to unity on the part of each individual that's involved, that goes a long way. You get a hole in that hull, and if it's bad enough, that boat is going one direction, and that's down. And when there's fightings within the ship, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter. You can be on peaceful water. You don't even have to be in a storm. But if there's not unity, if there's strife and seditions and those kind of things going on inside the relationship, guess what? The outside conditions don't really matter. That ship is going down. All right, lastly, and we could talk a little more about that. You know, Proverbs has some advice. Talks faithful are the wounds of a friend, and iron sharpeneth iron, and there's lots of those components to a good relationship too. You know, it's not all just smiles and kisses always, right? All right, lastly, to build and maintain loving relationships, we need liberating forgiveness. Liberating forgiveness, and I'd like to compare this liberating forgiveness to the boom on the bottom of the mainsail. You have a relationship with God. You have the mainsail that is powered by the Spirit of God, and then you have the boom which is attached to them both. And that one is running horizontally, and that one's running over top of all the rest of the sailors, all the relationships, all the people that are on this boat. And you can't have any of the rest of it if you don't have liberating forgiveness, because sometimes things are going to go wrong on the boat. Sometimes we're not going to always agree. Sometimes we're going to feel unappreciated or offended or put whatever you want in there. But there's one thing that covers it, and that's liberating forgiveness. Verse 21 talks about envyings. It has the idea of jealousy and greed and resentment. There's resentment in a relationship. It's gonna stagnate that relationship. It's gonna go down. You know, you think about David and Saul's relationship as an example of that. There was jealousy there. Well, the problem was Saul's relationship with God wasn't what it should be, but there was jealousy there, and it took that relationship down. Our relationships need forgiveness to function. Forgiveness is really not that complicated. The definition is actually in the Word. And it basically means to abstain from giving. That's what forgiveness is. To abstain from giving. And so when someone wrongs us, and resentment boils or grows in our heart, and we feel the need to hurt them back, to give them what they deserve, to give them what they asked for, to give them their just dues. Forgiveness simply abstains from giving what we think those just dues are. That's what forgiveness is. It's releasing. Forgiveness liberates us from the bondage to give others what we think they deserve. Forgiveness liberates us from the need to return evil for evil or bite for bite. Forgiveness makes it possible to let go of resentment and let God take care of retribution. When forgiveness overshadows the sailors in a relationship, there is freedom to sail to places and see beauty that you've never seen before. But that is post-forgiveness. That is after it happens. That is after you keep making the choice day after day, year after year. Forgiveness does not mean we overlook or tolerate sin or disobedience. Rather, it means that we don't let hurt or resentment from another sailor's sin bind us. Is there some sailor on your relationship that you need to abstain from giving what you think they deserve? Is there anybody that you need to forgive this morning? Forgive. Take off the ropes. And you both will experience liberty to sail. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This morning, I'm so thankful that our relationships don't need to be on the rocks. But as we make sure that each of the components is in its proper place and is in good repair, we can sail on together and we can make it safely home. May the Lord bless. We'll have a closing number in song.